welcome back to the Edge Radio Broadcast. Number one, according to ranking.com. If you've got a question for our guest Freeman, go to the edgeam.com website. Click on the Fast Blast while you still have a chance to get your question into the program. If you've got a guest suggestion, go to the edgeam.com website, and we do take your suggestions, my friends. You are a valuable part of this program, and without our faithful listeners and advertisers, this program would fade off into Never Never Land. But that won't happen, because we're all in this together, discovering the truth together every Saturday night right here on this fine station. Now, coming back on the Newsmaker line is Freeman Fly. Freeman, welcome back.
Hello.
Well, Freeman, you've said so many things, and we're going to hit you hard right off the bat coming out of the break. The sun symbols like Shell and BP logos have a sun motif. Is this a sign of allegiance to each other?
The sun symbolism, the best that I've come up with that one is this connection of the rising sun, the Lucifer or Horus. So that one has definitely tripped me up a bit to totally define at this point.
Yeah.
But that's where I put it right now, is as a symbol of Lucifer in the Egyptian pantheon.
Okay. All right. Here you go. This question here, and we get this rather often, but we'll ask you. Do you think the 9/11 attack on the towers was a demolition?
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
That's kind of neat.
You
kind of easy.
Had a great show with Sophia. I got to meet her a couple of weeks ago. She has the best movie on the demolition, the 9/11 mysteries. And I would just say, if anybody that has questions, just go to that film for sure. Sophia is an awesome lady.
Yes.
She made a great film.
Yeah, she did.
I'd really like to address your Starbucks idea there.
Oh, boy. Okay. Go ahead. I deserve it. Hit me with it.
The Starbucks logo is astounding, and it's actually, when you see the goddess sitting there with the pentagram over her head, that's the very same symbol of Columbia here in Galveston, Texas, or, you know, just south of where I'm at. When we look into the symbolism, or even the very origins of this goddess, Columbia, Britannia, Juno, all of them, back to Isis and even the Queen Semiramis, of the Sumerian or the Babylonian order, we constantly come to this fish motif and sex with fish people.
Ooh.
And if you look at the original Starbucks logo, you're going to find that it actually has what is known as a skyla, which is where they took the two, they split the fin of the fish, and what you see up next to her head, which you think are her arms, are actually her ankles. They got her ankles behind her head. And this was how they used to explain sex with the fish people in the creation of humanity.
Thanks, Freeman.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. So let me ask you then, going back to the BP statement there, if we buy BP gas or if we buy a Starbucks coffee or we go to Verizon and have Vonage and these type of things, are we paying homage to unknown demonic deities?
I would think so. I think that the very use of the magical pentacle, the dollar, is homage to these critters. You know, I don't think you're going to do any better shopping at Target as opposed to the pentagram of Walmart. Our whole world is conquered by these guys, and they do seem to be in contact with demons by their own works. You know, it's straight from Masonic works.
Do you think George Bush, when he like stutters or mispronounces a word, is that because the chip implant in his brain is picking up some sort of extraneous vibrations of some sort?
George Bush seems to be a full-on psychopath, and you'll find that whenever he tries to say something nice, like "going to put food on your family," he always messes it up. But when he's talking about killing, destroying, or any of these lovely motifs that he enjoys so much, he speaks perfectly fluently.
Really?
And whenever he tries to say something nice, he'll always stumble on it.
Gotcha.
And that's just his psychopathic nature.
Mm-hmm. In the first hour, you gave us the proof that you successfully predicted 9/11. Is that the word? I don't even know if that's the word you want to use, or you put it together, or you knew what the plan was. You demonstrated it, but that it would come at a particular time. Do you have anything on the table now that you are predicting for the future?
You know, it's funny. After 9/11, all that type of information seemed to stop coming to me. And I didn't know if it was because now I had reached a point where, because that was such a defining moment for me. Because a lot of times I'm looking at this stuff and I throw things out there. I don't know whether they're, real, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm just putting the pieces of the puzzle together. That's all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when 9/11 hit, and I had hit it right on the head, then it was like my brain said, okay, now you know what's going on. Just use that. And so I did start to look for patterns that fit within that motif because, the Pentagon began construction on 9/11/1941, and I had gotten a report that the Twin Towers had begun in 9/11 as well, which I haven't confirmed that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Masonic cornerstone laying ceremony that they do on 9/11. Many years prior, 60 years prior. So when we're looking at this symbolism and trying to understand what it means and how the patterns go together, we see all these links to the date 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to look for further dates that would have connections such as that. And one that kept popping into mind was 10/13, which is the day that they actually slaughtered all the Templars. And, of course, we know it as Friday the 13th, the most unlucky day. And the reason we consider it the most unlucky day is because it's the day that the Pope and the King killed the Templars.
Hmm.
So 10/13 was one that was striking me. Now, 9/11, as I told you, I only grabbed because of the fact of HW using it. I didn't know about the Pentagon's construction date or the Twin Towers' construction date. And so then I took this data and I turned it to see what might be fit in with a 10/13 scenario. Now, of course, as they're saying, the 9/11 scenario was given away in the Lone Gunman episode prior to 9/11. And, of course, that's created by Chris Carter, and Chris Carter's production company is 10/13. And so then I looked a little further, and I find out that the White House was actually begun construction on 1787 on 10/13. They had the Masonic Cornerstone Laying Ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So next year will be the 700th anniversary of the death of the Templars, and it will be the exact 10/13.
Is that taking into account any calendar changes as well? Have there been any since that day, or is it still exact?
That's just taking in patterns, patterns.
Patterns, okay.
If we look into Richard Hoagland's research, we find that there also has to be astrological significance going on. And so certain like Sirius and Comet Encke and Orion all have to be at a particular placement in the solar system for them to enact the rituals. And I find that very intriguing as thinking about contact with pan-dimensional beings and perhaps even geological size machinery.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like Freeman, that you have to be in these geometric squares or patterns or pentagrams? I mean, do these entities that are out there, is that like a signal or a landing strip for them that they can zoom in on and say if you jump out you won't see anything happen, but if you're inside, say, a pentagram and you're doing some hocus pocus, whatnot, you're conjuring up demons, what do those symbols, are they like the gateway of some sort?
That seems to be the case. It seems that occultism, what we know of as occultism, is a roadmap of the other side. And so that further magicians can take that and use the map so that they don't have to traverse the same terrain, and they can use the occultic mm-hmm. records of others to move themselves further into this other realm. And you'll find that the Freemasons are heavily into studying DMT and consciousness change, consciousness shifts, and that's really what magic is the ability to change consciousness at will.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a consciousness shift that allows you contact with otherworldly beings.
Mm-hmm. We have this question from the UK, for those that are up in the middle of the night over there right now. Given that the Masons are so patriarchal, do you think that their focus on goddess symbolism is due to their worship of the goddess, or are they attempting to subjugate the feminine energy for their own needs?
That is a big question, and that one I've pondered and pondered, and I look at a lot of the symbolism that they use with the beehive, and I often wonder if we're not just looking at the patriarchal worker bees that are actually servicing a mother queen, who could very well be a Windsor, that actually at the top it is a matriarchal society run by a head queen. Because we do find a lot of connections with, like, the Mothers of Darkness in Belgium and their Thousand Points of Light, which became one of George Bush's or HW's motifs. So I feel that perhaps we do have this breeding mother. If I'm looking at it from, you know, I put things through many different filters as I'm looking for answers, and if I put it through the extraterrestrial filter, then I end up with a generative mother that is bringing the bloodline into existence, and then these guys are actually just the worker bees serving the queen bee.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as Hillary's not that queen bee, I think we're at least, you know, can hold them back a little bit. Here's a question on a different angle of it. Is racial strife in America over the years, particularly the black and white issue, part of the occultic plan to cause division?
Well, it's all a part of the occultic plan to cause division. You know, even women's lib and the things that seem like they should be good for us, they're actually used to divide us. That's, you know, what happened in the 60s when everybody was against the war, and then they started saying, well, wait a minute, what about the rights of the blacks? What about the rights of the women? And all of a sudden, all the people started fighting amongst each other. It's the same story that they used in the Tower of Babel in Babylon. Back when we were all united with one language and one people, and then they separated us all into different genetic structures, and now we're fighting each other instead of truly looking at the problem on planet Earth.
Okay, so when the in the biblical context that it says God looked down and saw that the men there that were building the tower sought to become gods and do know the things of God, and it says then God calls that division, would you say that to align both the religious context of it and there's maybe the secular view of it, that when it says God separated them, that God used these or allowed these Masons or whoever they were back in those days to do the work for him, to do that job?
Yeah, it really depends on your definition of the Bible, for sure. If you're, you know, if the God within the Bible for you is an omnipotent being that is ethereal, then the story is a little baffling. But for me, I look at it from an ancient astronaut's perspective, and certainly Zechariah Sitchin's explanation of the arrival of the Nephilim is very intriguing when you reread Genesis. So I don't see it exactly the same. When I read God, I'm seeing, the God of the Israelites was one that they selected out of many, and it wasn't simply the God. I see these things differently. Like the story of Moses is a great example. When he is leading the Israelites to the mountain and they're following a column of fire by night and a column of smoke by day, this could very well be described as a UFO. And then he's led to the mountain and he goes up the mountain and he meets with the Lord of the mountain, and this Lord tells him he has to transcribe the words of the gods into the human language. So that there tells you that Moses knew the language of the gods. And then he's given these stones, which we've now equated with the Ten Commandments, but there's ancient stories that depict them as crystalline structures. And he brings these stones down the mountain, and nothing happens. So he takes the stones and he smashes them, and of course that's where we get the whole story of them worshiping the calf. But if God gave you something and you came down there and you found everybody worshiping a calf, would you smash what God gave you? Didn't make a whole lot of sense. And so then Moses goes back up the mountain, and he speaks with the Lord of the mountain again. And this time the Lord says, well, you got to create the stones yourself. And so then Moses creates them himself. Another 40 days, 40 nights, comes down the mountain. And this time the stones glow. They radiate. And from this point on, Moses has to wear a veil. And then he's given very, very specific directions on how to build an electroconducting box, what we call the Ark of the Covenant. And this, these stones and his magical rod that he used to do magical battles with Pharaoh's magicians were placed into this electroconducting machine, which was made out of acacia and gold. And then the Israelites used this to as a weapon of mass destruction against their enemies. Hmm. And it was actually stolen for a time and brought from king to king. And each time a king would open the Ark of the Covenant, they would find that they started getting what they called a withering disease, and their hair would fall out and these sores would develop, and very much what we would equate to as radioactive poisoning today. And then this Ark of the Covenant was then brought to to have Solomon's temple built. And of course Solomon didn't know how to build the temple, so he had to turn to the king of Tyre. And we'll find the king of Tyre is connected with this whole story of Freemasonry heavily. And king of Tyre brings the Hiram Abiff, who is the main character inside of Masonic ritual. It's who you pretend to be when you're doing your ritual. Hiram Abiff then comes with the ability to build the structure to house the Ark of the Covenant. And if you look a little deeper into Zechariah Sitchin's work, you'll find that King Hiram of Tyre was another man, like Enoch, that got off the planet and then returned. And then he had this man with him, Hiram Abiff, who is now known among Freemasonry as the first Master Mason. And then they housed this weapon of mass destruction in the Holy of Holies, which is completely electroplated in gold, to make sure all the radiation goes just stays in one place, and then the Levites are left there to guard it. So for me, the Bible is the story of ancient astronauts and has nothing to do with what I would call divine.
Mm. Wow, that's definitely an unusual take on that story there. Hey, we have this question for you. James Casbolt said that the MIA and a CIA have cornered the drug market. And I've always heard there's a CIA connection with drugs and MENA, Arkansas, these type of things. Do you believe that the CIA actually sells drugs for profit?
Should I admit that I know people involved?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. A very simple answer there.
Okay. They all be doing some token over there at the CIA?
What's that?
They all be smoking over there at the CIA, I suppose? I mean, you know, certainly they're going to sell it. They're going to be doing
it. Well, I bet some of them use their own drugs, but no, yeah. That's all, you know, to control.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they get the good stuff, too. They probably get the good stuff, don't they?
Oh, I imagine they would.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, you know, they're into consciousness change and consciousness shifts, and so they're using all kinds of stuff to do that.
Okay. Here's a question for you. This is from North Carolina. Are the Masonic towers, figures, building streets, routes, and other structures designed to capture souls upon death that were headed towards the Lord's kingdom and trap or enslave them, when we all know what can happen when they're crossing over and passing on? So, are these buildings placed in certain areas? Are they soul capture points?
I threw that question to Michael Tsarian, and I agree with him that yes, what we are living inside of magical pentacles. That cities are actually a giant magical sigil, and so then yes, it does convert our energy to a particular vibration upon release.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that Michael was on this program too as well. I don't know if we talked about that though.
Yeah, he's a fantastic talker. Mm-hmm. I love talking about that.
Okay. Now, let's.
I would also love to turn the Kabbalistic filter over to the world of rock and roll, if you're interested.
Sure.
In that.
Well, let's turn right on over there.
Because I noticed that you were playing Styx, and it made me laugh a little bit because, you know, of course, Styx is the river to hell.
Oh boy.
And
dang it.
When we start to look at. Which, of course, the river sticks.
Well, wait a minute. Now, I don't think that you...
Television.
Wait a minute. I'm not getting the impression you believe there's a hell, Freeman.
Well, I'm still in question of all of the religious beliefs. I do believe in these, you know, positive-negative relations And I just try to stay away from particular terms because they bring religious connotations and certain predisposed belief systems. So I choose my terms to not fit within that paradigm so that we can look at this thing without getting lost in its Satan mentality.
Okay.
Because there's more to this picture than a simple God-Satan warfare, as far as I'm concerned.
Here's this question here. Do you think that the long-prophesied World War III will take place and martial law be imposed?
Well, it definitely seems that the psychological warfare is leading that way. They are definitely working on disheartening the American public so that we aren't ready to fight. So first you got to defeat an enemy's heart. And then you can defeat them in war. And so that's the whole Bill Clinton, George Bush, all of our losing faith and everything that we have, plus the rise of the perversion on television and all the things that make Americans look bad so that others don't feel bad about killing us. I really do believe that World War III is on its way. I do believe that that's the reason all the Masonic temples are being sold across this country and everybody's liquidating their assets here. I do believe World War III is on the way.
Okay.
I believe we can stop it if we're aware of the situation and realize and not let them provoke our emotions to have us react, because that's really what they want out of us is this reaction.
Well, if we are prone and trained to react, as I think most of us are, depending on what we're faced with, I'm sure we're trained by the system that we've grown up with. If we were to react the opposite, then would we be in some sort of truth? Because I would think that responding in a way that they expect us to would be a, you know, sort of a monkey putting a square peg in a square hole. I mean, should we try to resist our temptation to respond and say, wait a minute, this is when something happens, this is the part of the plan, what would I normally do? I'll do this instead. And would we be nearer to the truth if we did behave that way?
Well, I would say put your faith in the divine and believe that the stronger you believe in synchronicity, the more it occurs. And nobody can prove to you synchronistic events. You can only experience them yourself. And so as more and more people put their faith in synchronicity and start being led to the places that they need to be, I mean, certainly I didn't choose to be on television or to be here talking with you now. Events led me to this. It all began with a strange homeless man that spoke to me on the bus. You never know where it's going to come from, so you got to be open and loving to others, and then your synchronicities start to unfold. So I believe we don't have to personally make the choices, that they're out there for us, and that synchronicity will be the guiding force for humanity. And I'm always telling everybody to read the Celestine Prophecies because I think it has a lot to do with our salvation. If we start to grasp this idea, this concept, and the more and more people that do, the more and more it'll occur.
What did the strange homeless man tell you on the bus?
He wanted to do my numerology. And so I said, sure, no problem, you know. And so we got talking, and after a little while, we got to know one another. And he was living in a van, and I was living in a van, and not by the river either. He left me a note on my van saying that I needed to go to this lecture and gave me all the bus routes to take. And so I went to the lecture, and it turned out to be George Green, who is an ex-Bilderberger, who was talking about the Palladians, the arrival of the Palladians with Billy Meyer in Switzerland. And within that group, I noticed a number of people in the audience that I had already met in Austin, and I had only been there 2 weeks or here. And so then I got to talking with these people. It turns out they all knew each other, and so there was a whole massive linking there. And one of them was a city council member who got to listening to me and said, you need a TV show. And I was like, I could have a TV show? And he's like, absolutely. And he actually paid to put me on ACTV. And, you know, honestly, my whole goal when I got to Austin and found out Alex Jones was an Austinite, I really just wanted to meet Alex and talk to him about my 911 belief and tell him that Molech wasn't a bull or wasn't an owl. I'm still trying to squash that whole Molech thing. Molech is not the owl. The owl is Columbia. The owl is the goddess.
Okay.
So I wanted to talk to Alex Jones, and I guess I had to get on TV to do that because synchronicity led me to putting on a television show. And then as soon as I went in to broadcast my first show, Alex Jones was there, and I got to meet him. And now we talk to one another, and it's all... So it's all just one thing after another. I don't ever look forward. I believe forethought causes stress. Stress causes illness, and illness causes death. So eliminate forethought and live forever, right?
Hey, Freeman, our emails are still flooding in. Can you go another 20 minutes or so?
Sure. We never did get to the rock and roll story.
You're listening to the Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Ott.
And welcome back to a show so hot your computer just may catch on fire with the things you hear on this program. If you've missed any of this information-packed interview, go to the AJM.com website tomorrow where it will be posted up for free. That is our gift to you. And if you have a guest suggestion, you know we take them here at the program. And if you've got a comment or question about the show, just click on the program director link. He'll be more than happy to get back to you. That way, any hate mail will go directly to him, and I'll be all the better for it. Now, going back to our newsmaker line is Freeman. Freeman, welcome back, and we're getting ready to talk about rock and roll. What's going on with that?
Oh, let's turn a Kabbalistic Freemasonic filter onto rock and roll, because that is one of the main propagandized and control mechanisms being used against us. All of the anger coming out in rock and roll these days, and the rap and hip-hop, trying to spawn anger out of everyone so that we'll react poorly when the time comes. Let's just take a quick look at some of the players in this. When we when this whole story began, we had the Beatles come over here, and of course the Beatle is the scarab of the Egyptians. The Beatles were reported to have been sent by the Queen to separate the children from the family, which they did a very good job of with long hair, and everyone's starting to have long hair, and this really upset the status quo at the time. But if we look at the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's album, we'll find, of course, Aleister Crowley's face there, and their connection with the OTO. And then at the same time, right after them, the Rolling Stones came over, and this British invasion is exactly what it is. The Rolling Stones came with their album on Her Majesty's Satanic Service, and they, of course, had the Beatles mingled in on their album cover with Mick Jagger sitting there in a wizard's outfit. So as we start to look more and more at the simple structure of the music that we listen to, Led Zeppelin were all members of the OTO. I believe maybe one of them wasn't. Practicing ritual magic within the music during their concerts. And, of course, then we get all the backtracking of Led Zeppelin and their sympathy. Or that was Stones again. We start to find a pattern here that actually to rise to the top, you've got to be a member of one of these occultic orders. And at that point, then you'll see that all of these people at the top are. So then when we look at KISS, and they are touted to be the Knights in Satan's Service, you know, KISS. If we look at their costuming, we see Paul Stanley, the lead singer, who is playing Dionysus, and that's why he has the pentagram and why he has hermaphroditic features, why he wears the lipstick and whatnot. Then he's standing next to the ancient astronaut, who is Ace Frehley. The guitarist in Ancient Astronaut is replaced by an Egyptian who is Vinnie Vincent, right? Tell me if I'm going too far. But then we've got the drummer who is a cat, which is one of the Bast in Egyptian and is one of the main animals of witchcraft. And then he's replaced by the fox, and the fox is compared with the vixen, or the one that fixes the brew. And actually, numerologically, I had to think this one through. Fox actually equals 666 when you look at it. F is the 6th number, O is the 14th, and X is the 24th. You get 666 out of that, but that's kind of stretching it. But then finally, they're all overrun by the fire-breathing, blood-drinking Dragon Lord, right?
Yeah. Okay.
But now, you know, once again, when you're just looking at these things, you could say, oh, that's coincidence. But then as you start to notice the structure and you realize that they're all occultists, you know, from Led Zeppelin. The Grateful Dead, one day Phil Lesh took me to a Mason temple and tried to kill me, me and 600 other fans. He's absolutely CIA and an occultist and a Freemason.
Yeah.
He had a concert that was supposed to play at an arena, and instead he moved it to the Freemason temple, and at the temple there they had no air conditioning, and it was very hot, and people were dropping left and right, and I kept having to pay the Masons $3 for their little mini bottle of water. It wasn't even your standard size bottle of water. To pour over people's heads to revive them, because Phil Lesh had overcapacitated this Masonic lodge to such a point that people were just dropping in their own sweat, what the Magician's Dictionary would call the pandemoplasmodium. But I went to, I didn't want to give the Masons any more of my $3 bills, so I went to the bathrooms to fill my bottles, and it only scalding water would come out of either the men's or the women's room. Now, I don't know whether that's a conspiracy or not, but certainly him bringing us to the Mason Temple was, because I asked the lady running the place whether the Masons were still worshiping there, and she said, yes, well, the Masons are a religious organization, so they can't get government grants. Now, it's interesting, there's 29 Masonic symbols on a dollar bill, but they can't get a government grant, and they continue to say that they're not a religious organization, but yet here this lady saying that they had to... So the community center had to buy the Mason Temple because they get government grants, and then they rent it to the Masons, and Phil Lesh brings all his fans there so the Masons can make a buck.
Well,
it goes on and on like that. I met the P-Funk, the Parliament Funkadelic, if we want to go over into the funk realm.
Gotta go
and,
funk, yeah.
I met the Grady, the one singer for the P-Funk, and he was wearing a big G in the eye and a pyramid on his purple cloak. And I was like, you're a Prince Hall Mason, aren't you? He says, yeah, who are you? And I was like, I'm Freeman. And he's like, oh, good name, because, you know, Freeman fits well within the Masonic order. I ended up hanging out with the singer at P-Funk because he thought I was a Freemason.
Really? What about those two homies that on that album cover, pre-9/11, you know, triggering the device?
Right. I've seen that.
Yeah, them homies on there. Hey, I got this question, though. Remember a couple years back, Great White, they had they were in that bar situation, wherever that was, and all those people got burned to death, that got killed. I'm just wondering if they were involved, perhaps because they were just really not a very good band to begin with. They weren't going anywhere. Do you think that they made a pact with their masters that, that they required some sort of sacrifice to get them up, and it backfired because the devil's a trickster anyway?
That could very well be. You know, once you start to look at this picture, nothing's out of the realms of possibilities.
I think I'm getting some of these things.
I found that to be true.
All right. By the way, everybody, those just real quick on the Edge Gear, we have Victor from Georgia is an Edge Gear winner, and we have Janet from California out there in Pollock Pines, an Edge Gear winner, and Paul from Australia. Good day, mate, or however it is, down under. You're an Edge winner. And finally, we also have randomly selected Kevin from Illinois for an Edge Edge Gear winner. Freeman, you've said so many things, and you know some of these things. Obviously, when you like you were alluding to the numbers of 10/13 and 9/11, isn't it true though that you can find numbers that fit anything?
Well,
I mean, couldn't you just go looking for dates? You know, like say, I got a number 10/13. Let me go on the computer and find out what happened 10/13 this date. You know, forever. I mean, couldn't you just conjure up some of these things?
Well, you know, statistically, you know, to have the Pentagon and the Twin Towers both begin construction on 9/11 statistically is just improbable. When we're looking at these things, it must fit within this catalytic Freemasonic magical order. And if it doesn't fit to that type of, but yes, every number does have a meaning. But there are very specific ones and very specific meanings that are being used.
Okay.
If we're looking at, say, 322, which is the number of the Skull and Bones Order at Yale, and I find that they relate everything to the Bible, whereas everybody's names, such as Temporary and Magog, all have biblical themes, because Temporary is even in Revelation. And we look to Genesis 3:22. And we find that it says, and they will become as gods. And this is truly what their whole intention is this immortality, this tree of life that they were denied. And that goes mm-hmm. back to the story of the Epic of Gilgamesh, and we can just, you know, carry that one all the way through. So, and then 9-1-1, if you look at Revelation 9-1-1, we find that it says their god is known as Abaddon or Apollyon in the Greek.
Which means what? So, Twin Towers?
What's that?
Does that mean, does Abaddon mean Twin Towers by synchronicity? I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Sorry?
Does it?
Oh, what, the Apollo?
Yeah, does it have anything to do with Twin Towers?
Well, it was the Apollo 11. The Apollo being the unified god, this hermaphroditic unification. So the falling of the Twin Towers would be symbolic of a union because it destroys the duality. And so then, yeah, it would be a symbol of the completion of the New World Order.
Okay. Speaking of two, we have this question from Ohio. It is obvious that the two most dangerous cities in the U.S. were also used for to host the World Series this fall. The Illuminati influence in professional sports is little known to most people. What do you think about the significance of the World Series locations this year?
Well, let me throw out first that Dallas, of course, is the Hebrew letter D, and their symbol, the Dallas Cowboys, is the pentagram again. And, of course, we got Austin down here, all set up to the goddess, and Dallas being the letter of the goddess. In America, there are 354 days of the games. I think Rome only got up to 332. These games, you know, there's only 2 days in America where there's not a national sports event. I personally don't watch sports, so I don't even know where the World Series is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely a lot of symbolism within the sports realms. The U.S. sports or snowboarding team uses the inverted pentagram as their logo, and their equipment is made by a company called Vocal, which has the Masonic compass and square as their symbol. And, of course, the Dallas and the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders who tell you to hate, kill, and destroy your neighbor.
Really?
There's definitely a lot of occultism. The Mets, of course, their symbol is the oblong square, which is the footing position that the Masons put themselves in when they stand before the worshipful master, which is, of course, also the same symbol for Bank of America. Definitely.
Okay.
Everything.
Okay.
It's the Matrix.
All right, here's a question for you. Is there any occult significance to www in a typical website address?
Yes. Because W can also be translated as V because there aren't typically double letters in Hebrew. There is no W. So the W would be equated as V, and V is 6. So, yeah, www equals 666.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's a question then. It says, and I don't know if this is true. I guess I'll have to go ahead and read it. It says, you keep saying demons and Lucifer. These entities, are they real beings? Or are they only implanted in the psyche to be perceived to be real? Because I might be the one saying demons, but whatever.
No, I've definitely called upon demons. Or, yeah,
whoa.
Apologize. Sorry.
No, I'm sure you did. No. It's a typo.
No, I don't call upon demons.
No.
I've not performed the ritual myself. So,
are they real or are they implanted?
No, they definitely seem to be in outside realms. And one of the big events that seems to have opened the portal to these beings is the ritual that John Dee did back in 1600s with Queen Elizabeth. And at this point, he contacted the Enochian gods and developed the Watchtower Enochian magic. And this is the very same magic that you'll find Tool, which of course has phallic symbolism in there. Tool is actually incorporating Enochian magic into their music, and you'll find that the Tool fans are as dedicated as any Deadhead ever was. There is something to it. Yes, definitely these are external entities, what Michael Tessarian calls the macrobes, and I call pan-dimensional beings. Crowley contacted one known as Awa, and that's who transcribed the Book of the Law to him, which made him so famous.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't think it's all in our head.
Okay. We have this question here on the come in on the Fast Blast. Concerning bloodlines, in the Old Testament it speaks of two bloodlines, one bloodline of Adam and one bloodline of Cain, considered by many to be the offspring of the serpent use. Eve was wholly seduced in the garden as her... as there are only two blood, I guess they're, what they're saying is, how can you know which bloodline you come from, whether it be Cain or Adam?
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, one thing you need to consider is that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, there were other humans running around, because when Cain killed Abel, he was marked by God so that the rest of the people wouldn't kill him, because he said, "Well, you're going to send me out to the land of Nod, and then you're, you know, surely everyone there will want to kill me."
Right.
Now, why everybody would want to kill him, he never says. But so there were already humans on planet Earth prior to the creation of Adam and Eve. I find Sitchin's theories very intriguing as far as them being a genetically crafted race that were a little slightly more intelligent than the ones that were existing outside of the garden. As far as the bloodline of these two lines, yeah, there is definite, let's see, Lawrence Gardner and Sitchin both put Cain as the son of Enlil, I believe it is, either Enlil or Enki, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting that one of the best theories I came across for the mark of Cain was that he was genetically altered to not grow facial hair, and then you find the line of Con, which is C-A apostrophe A-N, and of course in Hebrew there are no vowels, and you can easily transliterate these things, so Cain and Con could be the same, and that's the line that started the Mayans, and the line of Con actually doesn't grow facial hair, and they worship the serpent, which would be Enlil in the Sumerian mythos. And so, yeah, very well could be that Cain was the one that came over, and that's why Native these South Americans don't grow facial hair.
Interesting.
It's interesting, though, that all of their depictions of gods do have facial hair, even though they themselves never grew any.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The emails are continuing to pour in. You may be... A lot of people have questions for you. Since there is no law that says wages must be taxed and the Federal Reserve is unconstitutional, should we resist, or is resistance futile about paying taxes?
Resistance, yes.
Are you part of the resistance?
You bring... the truth is we need to alter our very meaning of life, the very reason that we exist. And if we're still focused on this magical pentacle, the federal note, then that's our meaning for existence instead of our true soul's intent of incarcerating or let's lose it there.
Sound like me.
If you continue to turn to the Matrix for your answers, then you're going to stay in the Matrix. And that's why I suggest the synchronistic realms that will lead us out of that Matrix mentality.
So
talking about the Federal Reserve, first you got to understand that what we're looking at here is a magical pentacle that's about to be replaced with the chip. So resistance isn't required. What is required is an alteration of your consciousness, a new reason for being, a new reason for existence. That's the only thing that's going to change anything.
Well, I tell you what, I definitely, you know, maybe we'll have to continue. So I don't know how much time you got, but I mean, I would like to talk to you on that synchronicity issue. But I really, this is a listener-driven program, and people have a lot of questions. So I want to take care of them before myself, actually, my own personal interests. Is there any Antichrist in that will fake some sort of end-of-world scenario?
I do see an Armageddon script being fulfilled, and that's a lot like what I was telling you with the whole Shock and Awe campaign, that these are rituals being performed, and they definitely absolutely involve ritual murder. Now, the whole Antichrist story, definitely, I can't answer that because I'm not really a religious scholar, but there definitely seems to be an Armageddon script. We now have the potential to pretend to be God with HARP technology, chemtrails, and these other high-tech technologies where we can actually create earthquakes, floods, and even alter mind states. We could... What I feel they're doing is putting out propaganda like the Left Behind series, so that people, like I read once in the News of the Weird, this lady saw these bodies floating up out of the back of this pickup truck, which actually turned out to be sex dolls that got loose and started floating up out of the truck, and the lady thought it was the rapture and stepped out of her car and died because the car was moving.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're being programmed into believing these particular styles of interpretation. As you read Revelation, and you know we're talking about a serpent with 10 crowns and you know 12 heads or whatever, and you know then we've got priests that interpret these words to us, and I feel that they're giving us a script to follow, and so when we see the massive earthquakes and hurricanes and all of the plagues and everything that they plan on unleashing on us, we'll believe it's the end of the world. And then they'll bring us our Christ, or they'll probably follow the script and rise with the Antichrist and then bring us a Christ. And a lot of times I feel that this might be sort of like the Bene Gesserit witches of Dune that seed a planet with a mythos and then come and fulfill that mythos so that they will be worshipped.
All right. Okay.
That's kind of how I see it.
All right. Let me just announce this. We have some more Edge Gear winners. Steve out in Carlsbad, California, you are an Edge winner. And Robert from Montana, you are an Edge winner. And Frank from Pine Hill, New Jersey. And one more. We'll get to that later. Freeman, we have a lot. A lot of people must have picked up on your rock intro there, your paradigm about rock and roll there. This one here says Kiss, of course. I think you said Kings and Satan Service. Then they go on to say Rush, Rules Under Satan's Hell, AC/DC, Antichrist, Devil's Children. What do you think about that?
Well, I think we might be throwing some things in there, but certainly they do fit well into the idea of everything that we're talking about.
Well, what about
as far as what the literal letters stand for? I don't know. You
what
know,
about,
it's and
what about
service out there? It's kind of a joke.
Yeah. What about that dude that eats bat heads? What's that freak's name?
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
Oz is the lowest level of hell within Milton's Paradise Lost.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah.
And
I mean, did he really?
Ozzy is, you know, into Mr. Crowley.
Yeah. 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 Well, I'll tell you what, man, chewing on a bat head, that really does seem kind of freaky to me, so I have to go with you on that one. Here's a question. Do you believe that the mandatory switch to digital TV is going to be used in mind control, and is there some sort of signal implanted into it?
Well, that I wouldn't know. I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, I mean, going back to our earlier conversation, I mean, any time that it seems to me, I guess, any time the government's rolling something out and making something mandatory, they've got some sort of plan in place.
Oh, yeah, when Clinton was making the V-chip mandatory, I was definitely a bit concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do feel like it's 1984 and our TV is watching us because, mm-hmm. you know, fiber optic lines go both ways.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This question here came in. Do you, or some say that Jesus was a Mason or Freemason?
I have pictures of Jesus as a Mason.
You do?
Yeah, there's ancient, or not ancient, but older stained glass windows that have Jesus in a Masonic pose. That's in the Codex Magica film, by the way.
Mm-hmm. We have this. Evidently, somebody looks like they may be agreeing to something I said about Great White. They said that the people involved in an inferno were part of a huge sacrifice of some sort.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of ritual sacrifice going on. Mm-hmm. A lot of missing children, mm-hmm. a lot of subterranean bases that nobody knows what's going on.
There is some synchronicity right there, Freeman, because the same person wrote that last question, followed up with this question. I missed the first hour of Freeman's interview, but if he hasn't talked about underground bases, please ask him, has he met anyone who's been there, and do you know where an entrance is?
No.
But that is synchronicity.
I'm going to have Stuart Swerdlow on my show, and
but,
that should be quite intriguing.
But that is synchronicity, isn't it?
That is.
That question at this timing? Am I learning some here, Freeman?
Oh, sure. No. Synchronicity can only be experienced, you know.
So, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Now, you got a blog there, and we have a link to it. What can people find on that?
Well, on my blog, I have I put up each episode from the TV show on MySpace, actually, on my MySpace Freeman TV. And on my website, you'll find, well, ordering information for the DVDs, and then also my dictionary of Kabbalistic Freemasonic terms, and I outline all of the parameters for the corporate logos, and I get into some more of the stranger stuff, like George Bush's connection to the gunpowder plot of 1605, and then just a little bit about my thinking and psychological warfare. I try to throw as many thoughts as I can. I've been really busy this last month. I've been recreating all of Alex Jones's old VHSs to DVDs, and I got to do all the artwork for all the boxes, and so I haven't been able to get an article up there in a few.
Really interesting.
But I try to continue to spread the information that I'm mm-hmm. acquiring, and so you can watch my TV show, listen to my web broadcast, or read the information, and of course, all of the articles have links to all of the back stories or the accompanying.
Mm-hmm. And I have viewed your DVD, and I noticed that you have a whole section there on synchronicity. If everyone were to follow that path, wouldn't civilization just fall apart?
God, I hope so.
Okay, all right.
Well, I guess maybe nobody realizes that civilization is a horrible thing that happened to this planet.
Okay. Touche. Well, let me ask you this then. What are you going to do for health care when you're 90? What are you doing on that? Synchronicity, you going to take care of that?
I have no ability for health care now. You know, they're not handing me magical pantacles to go to the doctor. I spent 15 minutes in there one time because I got chemtrail poisoning so badly I thought I was going to die. And that cost me $1,500 for that 12 minutes in there, and they never even mm-hmm. told me what was wrong with me. I had to go research it myself. I found out I had barium poisoning, and of course barium is used as a tracking device for terrorists, and that's what they're feeding us in those chemtrails. My whole TV show this month is going to be devoted to nothing but chemtrails.
Okay, so if all the doctors pursued synchronicity, quit their practices, how would people get their health care?
People would be helping others. That's what humans naturally do. At this point in time, it only seems to show up when there's a great catastrophe. And I like to say that nothing brings people together like a catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take Katrina as an example, and how many people joined forces to help all those people, that would be a natural state, a natural event of us helping one another, because our focus would be on the help of others instead of on our own material needs, because all of our material needs would be met through synchronistic mm-hmm. order.
Do you see any possible future where more people join you in your quest for synchronicity or to follow a life of synchronicity?
Well, there's a lot of us out here, more than you would ever imagine. When I started the Philistine Prophecies, now, I was already living in a synchronistic realm, and I didn't have any words to describe it to people. I didn't know how to tell them what I was doing. Like, I don't know, I'm just lucky, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Philistine Prophecies came out, and it outlined a full-on format on how to achieve synchronicity. And I said, here, this is what I'm doing. This is exactly it. This is, you know, here's your guidebook. And as the Philistine Prophecies came out, and I got to meet James Redfield, too, on a synchronistic event, of course. But when I started reading it, and I would try to tell my friends about it, now, once again, I say you can't tell people about this. They won't believe you. They can only experience it for themselves. I would say, well, here, watch this. And I'd stop any random person going by, and I'd say, what insight are you on? Because that's what he lists, are 9 insights that you learn to achieve synchronicity. And he just did this with basic psychological structures that's being learned in the universities today. And the person that I stopped randomly on the street would say, oh, you know, I'm kind of stuck on the third insight, because the third insight requires a bit of imagination or belief in your imagination, because it calls for seeing auric fields on plants or on other people. And, you know, if you're very rational, you're not going to believe that you actually see these things, even though you are, you know, oh, it's a trigolite, trigomai, whatever. So I could stop anyone randomly and ask them what insight they were on, and they were... The soul-seeing prophecies made a huge impact, and it just kind of faded away, and I keep trying to revive it, because I really do think it can save the world.
Really? Who wrote the Philistine prophecies?
It was James Redfield.
Okay. Okay.
And he just turned it into a movie, The Philistine Vision.
Really?
But the book's much better, of course.
Okay. All right, Freeman, in the final minute here, anything you'd like to say?
Oh, you know, spread love, spread joy, no matter how much this looks like the play is going into the belly of the beast. We got to keep our energy up, our love vibration up, because that's what they're attacking. And even as it appears things are getting dark, realize it's only a stage play. Just like 9-1-1 was nothing but a stage play. You shouldn't have even reacted to it at all.
Really?
That would have been my answer to it.
Okay.
You know, even the Simpsons promote that theory.
Yeah.
And Ghostbusters did, too.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right, Freeman, can we have you back on the Edge program sometime?
Oh, I'd love to come back, Daniel.
Okay, well, I appreciate you being on the show tonight.
Hey, you're welcome. It was great.
Okay, very good. We'll talk to you again then.
Okay, Daniel.
All right, you bet.
Talk to you then.
All right, bye.
You have been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to TheEdgeAM.com. That's TheEdgeAM.com, where you can find out more about the guest and topics discussed on the air. The Edge is being brought to you by Internet Solutions, home of affordable website design and low-cost Internet access. Visit Internet Solutions at ES4.com. That's ES4.com. Until next week, for the Edge Radio broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge.
News on the USA Radio Network is next.